the president of the New England Patriots, Jonathan Kraft. Jonathan, what's going on, man?
How are you, Michael?
Doing well. Say hi to Rob Bradford, too.
What happened to Glenn?
I don't know.
That's a nice hello.
How
you doing, Jonathan?
Rob, I haven't talked to Glenn in a long time, and I was looking forward to it. Not that I'm not looking forward to you, Rob.
Hey, Jonathan, keep digging. Keep digging.
Yeah, I was just pushing the chair.
You might as well say, you might as well ask Rob if it's pumped or stuffed, the football. Man.
Okay, so, Rob, we'll talk to you in about 20 minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I got some legit questions. Go ahead. Michael can lead it off.
No, I will ask you. First of all, I said in the old days, Jonathan, before the Red Zone channel, I just would have been depressed this weekend with the bye week. I'd prefer to watch the Patriots play, but now that I can bounce around with Scott Hansen on a 5-hour energy drink, I'm not so depressed. How are you feeling about this team going into the bye week?
We feel pretty good. Being 5-1, if you're going to be somewhere after 6 weeks, the next best thing to 6-0 is 5-1. So, we feel good. Obviously, there's a long way to go in the season, and obviously there's a lot our team can do to improve. But looking strictly at it from a one-loss record, we're in a good spot, and we've got a tough stretch coming up when we get out of the bye.
You know, I was talking before you came on about Wes Welker, and before it was easy just to say, oh, yeah, he gets all these catches, all these 100-plus catch seasons because he's a slot receiver. He has proven through the first six games that he's much more than that. Fortunately for him, and perhaps unfortunately for you, his contract is up at the end of the year. Any conversations about extending Wes Welker to make him a lifelong Patriot?
No, and it's not unfortunate. We're so lucky to have him, and dealing with players coming up is something that happens every year. You got 53 guys on a roster, so plenty of contracts come up each year. And Wes is somebody that we hope and believe will be a Patriot for hopefully the rest of his career, but at least a while to come after this season.
Speaking of wide receivers and speaking of contracts, I guess, I'm interested in your take on Ocho Cinco so far.
I think Chad, I know a lot's been written, but I think Chad, what you want out of a new player is somebody that comes in, puts his nose to the grindstone, and works hard and is out on the practice field making a very solid effort to try to learn what's going on in a system that's totally different and in the locker room as a productive force. That's a lot of what you want to get, and clearly you want to see production on the field that you know that a player is capable of. And I think from our perspective, Chad has done the first two in spades, and understanding that this offseason was so different than any other offseason in the league, to ask somebody to come into an offense that they have no experience with, we knew would take time. And I believe that by the time the season is over, we're going to see a lot of Chad out on the field that's going to make people happy. And I think people forget that in that Jets game, he made two really nice catches in a row to help extend a drive that was important to the club at the time. I think it was in the third quarter, and I think we're going to see more of that, and we're happy to have him on the team.
You know, okay, it's a fair point about the lockout. It threw everybody off, not only players, I'm sure, coaches, and hell, even owners too, and team presidents. But you look at Ocho Cinco and his career, the type of offense he was in Cincinnati, I shouldn't even say the type of offense, the type of game he had. I mean, Jonathan, this guy, as you know, went over the middle and could go deep. I just thought it would be a natural fit coming here to New England. I've been a little disappointed by him. He surprises me. That not being able to produce like he usually does.
Let's look back at the end of the season and see where we are. I think the thing you have to understand about our offense, and you were around our team for some long stretches, Michael, and I think you know it. Tom Brady is a master of his craft, and he has guys in Wes and Dion who know him cold, and guys like Ben Jarvis and Rob and Aaron, I mean, and Kevin hopefully will be back. And these are guys who either have been schooled in the system from their first day in the NFL and told how intense it was going to be, or have been in our system a long time and know it. And when Tom goes out there, he orchestrates something that I think is more complicated and more reactive at the line of scrimmage than most other teams do. And it's if you've spent the first 10 years of your professional life speaking English, I mean, just to pick a language, and then all of a sudden in your 11th year, after a very short window of time to get acclimated, you start doing whatever that professional thing is in speed German. The pace is picked up from what you were doing, and the language is totally different. It's going to take a while for people to adjust, and Chad has worked incredibly hard, and I think everybody in the locker room and around the team is happy he's here. And let's look back at the end of the season and start to analyze and judge things then. I think everybody will be happy with what we have.
I mean, Jonathan, those are fair points, and we've seen in the past where guys have been slow to pick up this system, especially coming from another place. But what we're left with in terms of the image of Ocho Cinco is the last game, him getting on very few plays. The last time he was thrown to, it was a miscommunication. At this point, as far as we are into the season, would you expect that he would be this far behind? Or do you think this is what we're going to have to go into the bye week with?
You know, I'm not in the locker room and in the meeting rooms every day, and I think the question of where he is relative to the expected development would be something that Bill or Billy would be better to answer than me. I can tell you that as an organization, when we look at the pickup, we're still confident that we did the right thing.
Let's talk about another one of your new guys, and that's Albert Haynesworth. One, how do you think he's been doing so far? And two, I know you were on with John and Jerry. I heard part of the interview, not the whole thing. Maybe they asked you this. What was your thought? What was your initial reaction when you were told, hey, I think Albert Haynesworth, the NFL's bad boy, one of the NFL's bad boys, I think he might be a good fit for the Patriots?
We had John and Jerry and I talked before the season started. And as I said that day, when we started talking about this, Robert and I thought it was important that we meet with Albert before the thing was finalized and have a conversation with him just to explain what, from our perspective, it means to put on a Patriot uniform and play here. And I thought we had a very good conversation, and I thought in the conversation, having never met Albert before, I enjoyed the meeting, and it, given the media perception of the man, it wasn't what I expected to see. He's very articulate, intelligent, and it was also clear that he's passionate about football and that he wants to win. He's a competitor, and I think sometimes when people get into situations that either weren't what they thought they were going to be or weren't the competitive situations that they were hoping for, different things happen. And I'm not making excuses for Albert. I wasn't at the other places with him. But I can tell you that from our perspective, everything he committed to in that meeting with us, he has more than lived up to. From a football perspective, I've enjoyed watching him play. I can tell you that last week I thought he had a huge impact on the game. And if you look at Carter's second sack, you watch Haynesworth coming up the middle, engaging three guys, and you got Romo just staring at him, and Carter comes from the backside, even though Romo had room to his left. And I think he helped make that happen. I think he helped us shut down the running game, We're happy to have him be a part of the team. And again, much like Chad, he in the locker room, he's been nothing but a great member of the team.
Well, you mentioned the locker room, and I'm curious because obviously it was such a strong group of guys, the veteran guys, had been mentioned so many times, when you bring a new guy in, that those guys are held accountable by this group of leaders. And a lot of those guys have left. Do you sense in the last couple of years that that leadership has been able to be turned over a little bit to guys like Mayo or whoever else, and that there is still that foundation there?
There's definitely great veteran leadership in the locker room. Whether it's Vince or Gerard leading the way on the defensive side of the ball to the offensive side of the ball, where you get guys like Tom and Matt and Kevin Falk and Dion and Logan. There's a great veteran presence in our locker room, and I don't know what other locker rooms are like around the league, but I think ours is one that has a great ability to police itself, deal with issues, make sure that expectations are known to rookies and incoming players, and it really polices itself. And when you talk to guys who come to our team from other clubs, it always makes us feel good. And I realize that players might be inclined to say nice things because they're playing for our team and they're there, but they tend to say it's a different environment than they've experienced other places, and we're very fortunate to have that. And I think Bill doesn't get enough credit for helping to foster that environment, too. I think he explains to the veteran players what he expects and wants, and the system works. I think it works very well.
Speaking of Bill, every year, Jonathan, I ask Robert about Bill's contract. Every year he deflects or just flat out says, I'm not going to answer that question. But I do wonder for a couple of reasons. The obvious reason that he's the best coach in Patriots history, that's one. And then two, we've had something in another sport here in town where the general manager had 1 year left on his contract, the manager had some option years left, and they both wind up leaving. What is Bill's contract status? Is he toward the end of his contract? Is he in the middle of it? Do you think he's does he have a lifetime contract? Can you tell us about that?
We don't really talk about the term of Bill's contract, but I think it's safe to say that Bill is going to be the coach of the Patriots for the foreseeable future. And I think we're very fortunate to have him as our coach. You said the best coach in Patriots history. I'll say I think he's the greatest coach in the history of the game. In this modern era where you have free agency and you have the all the hurdles associated with having sustained excellence on the field, it's very difficult. And he is really good at managing the roster, the X's and the O's, and all of the personality issues that go into managing a football team and a coaching staff. And we're fortunate to have him, and I think you'll see him coaching the Patriots for a number of years into the future.
Speaking of Belichick, but veering off a little bit, I don't know if you heard, but there's a lot of controversy going on with another team, as Michael said, regarding the Red Sox and a lot of chaos and everything else. And I was just interested to get your perspective on what it was like to go through the compensation for the coach. And obviously right now they're going through it with Theo Epstein. But both in the Parcells case and the Belichick case, there was compensation involved. And how difficult was it for your organization to come to an agreement regarding that compensation?
That's a good question, Rob. Both were emotional times for different reasons. In the case where Bill Parcells left us to go to the Jets, it was an emotional period of time because of what had transpired over the few weeks before when we were in the Super Bowl and some of the distractions that it had caused, and it's a team in your division, and we were still pretty new to the league. Leon Hess, who owned the Jets, was a grandfather in the league, and the deal ended up being mediated by the league office, and we didn't feel great about what we got in that transaction at the time, because we really felt we had been tampered with during our season. Now, look, that's a long time ago, and as I said, it was a couple of very emotional weeks around that Super Bowl and then afterwards. And so that one was very difficult emotionally. In the case of when Bill joined us from the Jets, Bill Belichick. The funny thing is we paid a bigger price for that than when Parcells left us and did what he did. And I would argue that the Belichick thing was a cleaner situation. But in that case, even though the public and the media wasn't crazy about the price we paid, we had seen enough of Bill Belichick, and Robert in particular, whose gut is always right. Just when he has a gut feeling, you throw the analytics out the window, because when his gut is telling him something. And I think in that case, we wanted Bill to be our coach. And at that point, it's just a negotiation, and you try to do the best you can do to make it happen. And again, the league stepped into that situation. It was a different set of circumstances. But that one, you were much happier when we got him. We were much happier when we got him. And at the end of the day, you pay the price and you get ready and you move on. The first one was highly emotional. And I don't know what it's like to be in the Red Sox shoes and the situation with the Cubs. And I don't know all the details. So I don't know which of those two situations it would more compare to between those that we experienced.
Well, I mean, I guess in the Red Sox case, a lot of it has to do with leverage, and if one side feel like they have a significant amount of leverage, they aren't going to budge. Did you ever feel in either case that there was leverage that swayed so much in one side that it was not getting done unless there was mediation?
Well, in the first situation, I think we had the leverage theoretically, but the league office stepped in. And one thing that's great about the NFL is the management of the league as a whole and the central authority, and just getting things resolved and played out as much as you can privately is important. And I think when you're in the middle of it, you don't like it. But when you're one of the other 30 teams watching the two teams that are going at it, you appreciate the league office dealing with things and expediting them so that what I would consider extracurricular stuff doesn't get played out publicly. What I would tell you is, knowing John Henry, knowing Larry Lucchino, they deserve a lot of credit for what's gotten accomplished here, and if they have leverage in a situation, I'm pretty sure they're going to end up with a result that they like. But I'm not versed, other than what I read in the paper and the specifics of it. And being in the business, I can tell you, even with great media members covering these stories, there's always factors and things that aren't known in the public that only the principals involved in the situation are really aware of. And so at the end of the day, I have confidence in those two men, and my guess is they'll end up with a deal that they thought was the right one for the Red Sox.
All right, before we get you out of here, the clip we played as you were coming in, that was a clip from NFL Network's Football Life, and you were talking about the fantasy numbers from Tom Brady. But not just that, what did you think of the overall production? Your starring role in it, Bill Belichick, your dad. What did you think of the whole operation?
I'm embarrassed to say I haven't seen the whole thing yet, but I know how good NFL Films is. I will tell you that comment was to a young boy who was visiting us, and I won't get into his personal situation, but he was excited to be there at that game, and he had played Tom Brady, and I was turning and saying something to him. I didn't get any editorial approval of the thing, and it's not a comment that I would usually make, but that's who I was addressing it to. I think NFL Films does an exceptional job at pretty much everything they do, and Kenny Rogers, who was I've seen the first hour. I haven't seen the second hour yet. I actually am on an airplane tomorrow, and I plan on watching it then. But everything Kenny Rogers does is exceptional, and I think that having the ability to watch Bill, I've been very fortunate as somebody that was a huge football fan and now being in the business, getting to watch and work with Bill up close, but getting to watch him do the football part of his job is a lot of fun. And as somebody that loves sports, he was somebody who's such a seminal figure in the in the coaching profession of what I think is the greatest game. I feel blessed to watch that daily, and I think that this film definitely gives a glimpse that you wouldn't otherwise get, and in that regard, if you're a fan, you have to love it. I mean, Michael, you've lived it. You've lived it, so you've probably seen things beyond the film, so you know you know what it's like to watch him. But he's really, when he's in his element and in the space he's comfortable, it's fun to watch because he's really good at what he does.
I'd agree with that. And Jonathan, I'm sorry you missed Glenn today. You just have to tell him not to take so many damn off days. I mean, that's the problem.
Tell him I said hi. It's always nice to talk to you, Michael, and to probably this is the first time I've talked to Rob on the air, so Rob, nice
yes.
to talk to you.
I tried my best to fill to play the role of
not so bad, man. Huh? He's got some ability. All right, Jonathan.
It would have been tougher on me, so thank you.
Oh, now you make me feel bad.
I doubt that. Yeah. Ordway would have given you a foot massage. But anyway, hey, thanks for taking the time, Jonathan. We'll talk to you down the road.
Take care, Michael.
All right. Nice. It's Jonathan Kraft of the Patriots. Back to more of your phone calls after this.